O ye of little faith, be not solicitous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was driving up to Milwaukee from Cincinnati this past Friday, and my father from the back seat read this that I will read to you. He found it on a Facebook posting, and it says, California is on fire. Oregon is on fire. Montana is on fire. Colorado is on fire. Areas of Canada are on fire. Texas is underwater. Idaho had a 5.3 earthquake. North Korea just tested their sixth nuclear bomb, causing a 6.3 explosion quake. Mexico just had an 8.0 earthquake, and Hurricane Irma has been updated to a Category 5, moved west to where now the whole state will be affected and the strongest ever to come out of the Atlantic Ocean. Three hurricanes are formed right now, a 2.5 earthquake in Virginia and Boston, along with one in Colorado. What a stark picture. All this misery in this world of ours. Truly, they got it right in the prayer, the Hail Holy Queen. This really is a veil of tears and of much suffering and of much misery. But while all this is going on in our world today, our Lord tells us in today's gospel, therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold, he says, the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider, he says, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. For your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye, therefore, first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't think that it's a coincidence that all of this in the world is going on at the precise moment in time in the church year when this gospel is being read. It is God's way of speaking to us through the mouth of Holy Mother Church and saying to us, relax, I've got this one. Or in the words of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, confidence, it is the hand of Jesus that directs all things. But still, even in the light of that gospel, some might be tempted to ask, so many people are when bad things happen to good people, why does God permit all of these evil things to happen? Some will even be tempted to blaspheme God and call him cruel for taking away life, as if he were not the one, the author of life, and therefore had every right to destroy life. But the big question that many will ask is why? Why so much suffering? Now, some say that Texas was hit with a hurricane so hard, and now Florida was hit, simply because, well, those states were conservative, and they voted for Trump. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that one. In any case, some people will always try to explain they'll say anything to get their agenda pushed. They'll say just about everything. And we won't look to politicians for answers or to liberal-minded people for answers when we can look to our faith to find the answers. Why? Why does God permit such evil in the world? St. Augustine said that nothing occurs by chance in the world, in the whole course of our life. God overrules all. And Ecclesiasticus says, good things and evil, life and death, poverty and riches, they're all from God. Everything is planned by God with a purpose. Everything is taken into account when God arranges something. So what does the Catechism say, though, of suffering and of God's providence? Why he allows so much suffering to happen? Well, first, no one can attain salvation without suffering. Even our Lord, before he entered into his glory, had to endure his passion. But God arranges things. Think of this. He arranges every event in our life and in the world, all throughout history and all into the future. He arranges every little detail for the salvation of his soul. Everything. Yet not all will cooperate, and some will rebel against God's providence. But think of this, that nothing else matters to God but the salvation of a single soul. God permitted the deaths of the martyrs for that reason, that a soul might be saved. Think of the North American martyrs whose feast is coming up at the end of September. How many of them went away knowing they would either die crossing the Atlantic Ocean, or if they arrived in the missions, they would die at the hands of the Indians. Well, have you ever stopped to think? When we look back and see their martyrdoms, we say how glorious it was that they suffered so much for souls and for the faith and for God, and now they're in heaven. But did you ever stop to think of their families when these martyrs were going through it all? Their families who were left back in France or Belgium or wherever they were, thinking, how can God permit such a thing to happen to my son, to my daughter? They were human, just like us. But the answer is this, that without suffering, there is no salvation. These martyrs laid down their lives for the souls of others, and God permitted these men to be killed, butchered by the Indians in order to save those few Indian souls that converted. The salvation of souls is the number one thing. Secondly, all suffering comes from God and is actually a sign of his love and of his favor. You have only to look at the lives of the saints to see, first of all, how much Christ suffered, how much Our Lady suffered, and then all of the other saints. It seems that the more good works they took on, the founding of convents and of seminaries and the building of cathedrals and everything else, missionary work, that it all went wrong at some point in the eyes of the world. So much suffering they endured, but it's all because it is a sign of God's favor. In fact, that is so true that the opposite is considered to be just as true, that it is a terribly bad sign if we were free from suffering. If you don't have a cross in your life right now, you might consider the way that you're living. But if you have many crosses, thank God. Thank God, because it means that he loves you. He hasn't forgotten you, even if just to send a cross. St. Augustine said, there is no greater misfortune than the good fortune of sinners. He who does not suffer now will have to suffer hereafter. And then God never gives more than we can handle. Isn't it funny how many of us haven't thought of this? I was watching a Bishop Sheen thing the other day, and this was very enlightening, that it's funny how we humans, we can actually take more pain than we can pleasure. Now think about that. When you eat, that causes pleasure. If you keep eating, soon enough it's going to cause pain. You reach a point where pleasure becomes pain. If you like to exercise, well, you exercise, it's pleasurable at first, but then sooner or later, you're going to start feeling sore. And the same with everything else. Every pleasure, when taken to excess, will lead to pain. But pain is something that we think we just can't bear anymore. Then God puts just a little bit more on our shoulders, and sure enough, we're still standing on our own 2 feet. We're bearing our cross, and we're making it. And then he puts another one on, and another one, and we keep moving forward. We are able, by God's help, to bear more crosses than we are pleasure. The third thing about suffering is this, that God sends sufferings to the sinner for his conversion. St. Ignatius, for example. Remember, he was fighting a battle. He was a great general. And a cannonball was shot and hit him in the leg, and he was laid up in bed for quite some time. But that was the beginning of his conversion, was that pain, that suffering. And he was given spiritual books to read. And that was it. Wars today, what are they for? For the conversion of sinners. To wake up mankind and to say, do penance. All of this war is because of sin. That's a good reminder for all of us to do a little penance for sinners in the world too, to convert them, do something for them. But fourthly, God sends sufferings even to the good in order to try him whether he loves God or whether he loves creatures more. I'm thinking of what happened in, you know how you hear the stories off and on, the sad stories from the aftermath of the hurricanes and storms. You know, these hurricanes have given many people many opportunities of practicing virtue, even if it is, in most cases, only natural virtue. It gave them a chance to get out of themselves, to do something for another. Did you hear the one sad story? I tell it is sad, but it shows the heroic love of a mother for her child. It was a black lady, and the waters were already above her head, I believe. She couldn't swim, but she had a little infant. And so she had to walk through the waters. Baby, she was holding the baby up over her head, just reached it. So the baby was out of the waters, but the mother was under. She drowned. The baby survived. Greater love than this, no man gives, than that you lay down your life for your friend. What a touching story. You see, there's all sorts of stories like that, that it makes you realize the good that can come out of so much evil. It gives us opportunity to become stronger in virtue and to practice more virtue. Fifthly, sufferings are permitted. This ties in more or less with the last. They're permitted because they are benefits from the hand of God. What do sufferings do for us? Well, they cancel punishment due for sin. They shorten our purgatory, and they save souls. St. Augustine said, in this life, O Lord, burn, scorch, and wound me, only spare me in the life to come. Trials make us stronger, and when we unite them to Christ's cross, we can convert many a sinner and many a loved one to the true faith and save their souls. But My dear faithful, whether we hear of catastrophes all over the world, or just are sick and tired of being surrounded by so many dangers to our souls and our children's souls, and when we look out and we see that all is bleak, to the eyes of a Catholic who wants nothing except to save his soul, to get to heaven and see God face to face and nothing more. The good Catholic, though, even in this veil of tears, will see all things in the light of God's divine providence. He will make use of each cross that is sent, and he will see in every event of life, in his own personal life or the world in general, he will see God has arranged this from all eternity for the salvation of my soul, for the salvation of some other soul out there. It is because God loves us. He will see all things through the eyes of divine providence. Let's all of us do the same as we hear about all of these disasters and suffer our own temptations. Relax. God's got this one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.